Blog Talk Radio.
Returned, capturing us from the tempter's snare and giving us some rest and relaxation. This is our sweet hour of prayer. I am your host, the Reverend Bishop Christina Rake, and we are on our sixth episode of our How to Pray series. Today we will be discussing meditation. Meditation is the twin of last episode five, contemplation, that was aired not last week, but the week before. Last week, I was incredibly sick with a cold that would not give way. I'm feeling much better this week. I'm only ailing from different things. Tonight's topic is really fascinating. There's so much to it, as there has been with every topic. But when it comes to meditation, we tend to start to expand out of our own confines and start brushing the edges of several other faith traditions and several other practices. So tonight's going to be a really interesting intersection of practicality and mysticism, of Christianity and Eastern religions, just about everything you could think of that does not seem to go together. from the paranormal to Brahman to Christ to chanting. It's all in here tonight, folks. So we're going to have a really great time. For those of you who are new to us and this episode, I am the Bishop Christina Rake. I am head of the Charismatic Universalist Church. We are what would best be described as a liberal Catholic denomination. Our theology is quite conservative, and we remain so. We believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, that Mary is ever virgin, immaculate of God, and remains in heaven with Christ. We believe in the saints and the angels. We believe in the existence of purgatory and sentient evil. Many of the things our liberal friends tend to cast out. However, unlike those with whom we share our set of theological beliefs, we also believe that Jesus meant what he said. He said, you have to welcome everyone. You have to love everyone. And there are no exceptions for us. We call everyone to the sacraments, regardless of age, race, gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. You are all welcome. We have no intention of protecting God from his wicked people. That's not our job. We are facilitators. We are the ones who bring you to God and God to you. And then when you two shake hands, we're out of the deal. So that's how we believe church must function. If you want to join our community of believers, that's wonderful. We all need fellowship. But I have always defined religion as one's personal journey to the divine as they understand it. It doesn't matter to us where the road is heading. It doesn't matter who you think you're heading towards. It just matters that your feet are on the road. If you're engaged in the struggle of trying to figure yourself out and to figure out who God is for you and who God is in general, then that's perfect. That's the best place to be, because we're never called in any tradition, we're not called Catholics, we're not called Charismatics, we are called practicing Catholics and practicing Charismatics. The reason is because we don't get it right. We're just trying. We're practicing. Just like doctors practice medicine and some of them do it better than others. But anyway, we welcome you. We're very happy to have you. If you need to contact me for any reason, you can email me at charismatic.universalist@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to answer any question you have. If you enjoy our programming, please follow us on Blog Talk by clicking the follow button, because we often change programs or add programs or have a special program, and you won't want to miss out on that if you don't catch our Facebook advertising. Okay, we are on to meditation, my friends. You know, the interesting thing about meditation, and remember, meditation and contemplation, the line is blurred where one starts and the other ends. For me, meditation is more of a physical entrance into contemplation. Contemplation can be done in the mind. Meditation involves more of the body. It's more practical. So we're gonna discuss that a bit. But the thing about meditation that's amazing is it is at the heart of all ancient religious traditions. It can be practiced outside of the confines of religion, but it was in the context of religion that meditation was birthed. And if you think about it, meditation probably even predates religion. We know that anthropologically, we see a belief in an afterlife occurring just before the beginning of civilization, because we have in the graves flowers and tools and, most telling, food. And so we know the belief in an afterlife starts to take place in human history at that point, but at that point in our evolution. And even before that, though, meditation is really an act of focus, of mental and physical focus on a single idea, point, concept. And in that regard, meditation could even be said to predate religion. Even a mother looking at her child, or a child looking at her mother, that is intense focus. That is a type of meditation. Meditation itself is astonishing in what it can do. I posted this article on Facebook today because it blew me away. Statistics on people who meditate. This is astonishing. There have been proven studies that show that heart patients who meditate on a daily basis show not just less effects, but actually some reversal of their ailment. A stress, oh my gosh. Statistics show that those who meditate every day, right, reduce their likelihood of being hospitalized for heart disease by 87% and reduce their possibility of getting cancer by 55%. And think about it, stress really is the cause of major, major illnesses. A chemical plant forced its employees, forced, I'm sure, in the beginning, to meditate for half an hour every day just to see what would happen as a part of an experiment. This was in Detroit. They found this. Absenteeism fell by 85%. Productivity rose by 120%. Injuries dropped 70%. And profits increased 520%. This was 3 years of meditating. We also find this personally in people. Heart rate, respiration, blood pressure, and oxygen consumption decrease. There's less anxiety and nervousness. Meditators are more independent and self-confident. People who meditate are less fearful of death. 75% of insomniacs who started a daily meditation program were able to fall asleep within 20 minutes of going to bed. Production of the stress hormone cortisol, which also causes belly fat, is greatly decreased. Thickness of the artery walls decreases, which lowers the risk of heart attack or stroke. Relaxation therapy works in anxiety, chronic anxiety patients where it didn't work before. And 60% of anxiety-prone people showed marked improvements in anxiety levels after 6 months. I mean, this is absolutely due for you. So if you're not going to do it for a religious reason, my goodness, do it for your health. You know, meditation is in Scripture. I mean, the word meditate is used 20 or more times in Scripture. 15 of instances of the word occur in the Psalms alone. But here's one of the greatest, greatest meditative lines in Scripture, the one that basically orders you to meditate. And we all know it. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That's it. That's what meditation is. Being still in the body and in the mind and simply knowing that God is God. And that's it. It's so simple. It's not easy. Nothing simple is ever easy, but it's simple. I mean, we understand it. The problem is in doing it. And I hope that after tonight's episode, you'll at least have the steps for beginning. And like you, I need to do it more regularly. I pray, contemplate, but I don't deliberately meditate every day. And I really should. I think that it will make a difference. So with you, I'm going to force myself to meditate every day for 30 minutes a day. So we'll see how we're all doing. We'll check in. Email me after a while, or I'll do a follow-up show in a few months, and we'll see how we're all doing. Now, when you talk about Christians and meditation, there's so much suspicion against meditation. Gabriel Amor, the chief exorcist in Rome, condemned meditation. He condemned yoga. He said it was too dependent on Eastern religion, on Hinduism, which is polytheistic, meaning it has many gods. Typically, the accusations from the Christian side against meditation is that it has issues the way transcendental meditation has issues. Transcendental meditation was closer to a religion in and of itself, and it did have some goofy elements to it, and not all of it. Some of it is so wonderful and helpful. I saw videos, though, of people who were TMs, that's what it was referred to, TM, and they insisted they could fly. And they would sit cross-legged, and if they could leap up and, you know, catch air for a long period of time, then they believed they were flying. And I thought, no, you're jumping with your knees. It's not flying. You're bouncing on your butt like a frog. Perfectly, and this will demonstrate it, the tie of meditation to Eastern religions is so strong, especially in Protestant and evangelical circles. And that's because they've lost so much in leaving the ancient church that they don't see the connection anymore. But let me read this from Christianity Today, because I caught sight of this and I was like, really? It's such a misunderstanding of what meditation can be for Christians. Here's what it said, quote, "Differences in various forms of Eastern meditation aside, they all aim at a supposedly higher or altered state of consciousness. Meditation guides claim that normal consciousness obscures sacred realities. Therefore, meditation is practiced in order to suspend rational patterns of thought. This helps explain why so many Eastern mystics claim that divine realities are utterly beyond words, thought, and personality. In order to find enlightenment, one must extinguish one's critical capacities, something the Bible never tells us to do. In fact, suspending our critical faculties through meditation opens the soul to deception and even spiritual bondage. The biblical worldview is completely at odds with the pantheistic concepts driving Eastern meditation. We are not one with an impersonal absolute being that is called God. Rather, we are estranged from the true personal God because of our true moral guilt. No amount of chanting, breathing, visualizing, or physical contortions will melt away the sin that separates us from the Lord of the cosmos, however peaceful these practices may feel. Moreover, Paul warns that Satan himself derides as an angel of light. Pleasant experiences may be portals to peril. Even yoga teachers warn that yoga may open one up to spiritual and physical maladies." End quote. That's Christianity Today for you. Go out and get my subscription. No, their argument just hinges on meditation being a form of Hinduism, first of all. Second of all, to say that there is nothing in Christian theology that is beyond words or thought or even personality is just ridiculous. The personality aside, and I think that accusation against Hinduism is absolutely ignorant, that there's no personality to their gods or their God. But to say that the Trinity is capable of being perfectly apprehended and discussed and described in absolute detail is ridiculous. To say that you have to have some kind of rational reasoning capacity, some critical capacity, and that will help you understand who God is, then you're an idiot. It's not true. You need to understand that your brain is not going to get you to God. It's not. It can't hold God because your brain is inside of God's brain. How are you going to apprehend the one who's apprehending you? You can't do it. So when I read that, I just shook my head because Christians encounter this kind of pushback against the whole concept of meditation. Meditation is not that. Mystics and Christian monks and even Christ himself meditated, right? He was all constantly in the Gospels going off by himself to contemplate and to pray. He didn't use words. I can imagine Jesus could sit at the top of a mountain for days in rapt meditation of his Father. And meditation, that's not what it is. In fact, there's this guy called John Mayne, and he quote-unquote rediscovered the ancient traditions of the monasteries. And I get so frustrated at rediscovering this lost Christianity. No, it's been here all along. It's in the monastery. It's part of the Christian Catholic position that you contemplate, you meditate, you shut the hell up, and you think about something without babbling on. You know, you don't have a church that's just a pulpit and a bunch of seats. You have things to look at, places to sit, smells to smell, so that you can be human and get lost in God. So anyway, that's my position anyway. In the interior castle, St. Teresa of Avila defined Christian Christian meditation by this. By meditation, I mean prolonged reasoning with the understanding in this way. We begin by thinking of the favor which God bestowed upon us by giving us his only son. And we do not stop there, but proceed to consider the mysteries of his whole life. You know, meditation probably came from a bunch of different translations of the Hebrew word chaga, which means to sigh or to murmur. It also means to meditate, and sicha, which means to muse or rehearse in the mind, were eventually translated into Greek, into melite, and the Latin meditate. So that's where we get the word. And think about that. That's absolutely beautiful. To rehearse in the mind, to sigh. And that's really what you think about when you think of rapt contemplation of something. So when we talk about Christian meditation, there are five dimensions of Christian meditation that make it absolutely unique and tie Christian meditation to contemplation, which we discussed on October 3rd. The first is that a Christian meditator is grounded in the scripture. Scripture is the launching point for meditation. The second is that our meditation is a response to God's love and to the gift of himself and the person of Jesus. If there weren't a God that you wanted to know, you wouldn't be meditating. You are interested in feeling his love, and so you respond by emptying yourself of all the clutter and chatter of the mind so that you can feel the love. The third dimension is it often results in some epiphany in which a mystery of faith is revealed to us at once. So a lot of times when we meditate or contemplate, we'll actually get information. God will speak to us. It was in meditation that I suddenly understood the Trinity. It's in meditation that you'll suddenly grasp some reality. And the other thing we're going to talk about is, in meditation, you can ask a question and then meditate, and an answer often comes to you. It's really an amazing tool in that way, too. All right, the fourth dimension is it's never divorced from reason. Right? Your rational mind is never gone. You're never, that's not what it is. It can be guided, but never forced. In other words, when you're meditating, I can do a guided meditation for you, but I can't force you to meditate. I can't force you into an epiphany. And the fifth dimension is it results in a deeper faith, in feelings of consolation. And that's a specific theological term that means that feeling that God's here, God's with me, and it feels good, right? And it also results in a renewed desire to worship and learn about God. You know, meditation should be a flight from the self, right? And, you know, when we meditate, the most important part of this is that we're getting ourselves out of our own way so that God can come into us. A lot of us put up these walls to guard ourselves from God. No, no, don't come in. No, no, don't come in. I don't want you to see me. I'm not dressed. We put up walls to keep God out. And when you meditate, you are actually doing work. You are actually pounding down the wall so that God can get in. That's really what we're talking about here. You're not going to God. There's no place to go. You're letting him come to you. And then the most amazing things start to happen when you meditate. Do you know why your fear of death decreases? Do you know why your heart decreases? Do you know why you're healthier and less stressed? Because you know. You don't have to hope for. You know. You felt God. You felt the other side. What the hell do you have to be worried about? And that's what we're talking about. That's why it has the effects it does. When the Bible mentions meditation, it's usually in the context of obedience. All right. For instance, the book of Joshua says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." And we see that also in the Psalms. "Lord, I meditate on your law. I meditate on your law." Well, it is obedience, but it's obedience in the sense that you are surrendering to some reality, right? You're using something of God to focus on and surrendering to it as a reality, point where even your thoughts calm. And St. Ignatius of Loyola has these spiritual exercises. I don't know if you've heard of the Ignatius spiritual exercises, but the process begins with you meditating on the purpose of your life and how your life relates to the rest of creation. And then you meditate the next week about sin and its consequences in your life. You meditate the next week about the events of Jesus in his life, his suffering and death. And then the final week, you meditate on the joy of the resurrection and God's love. Padre Pio said, "Through the study of books, one seeks God. By meditation, one finds him." One of my favorite forms of meditation is in Eucharistic adoration. That's when the Eucharist, once it's consecrated, is exposed. And it's in what's called a monstrance, which is this beautiful gold chalice, except instead of a cup, it is a flattened golden sun, usually encrusted with jewels. And in the center is this glass case in which the host is placed. It's stunning, but I believe, I know that inside there is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, of God. And so I look at this portal to the other side, and I calm my thoughts and I center my breathing, and I say a chant over and over again until I'm lost looking at this host. And it's just beautiful, and the place is quiet. And nobody bothers you, especially with going there in the middle of the night. I got a key from my church, so I could do that. But it's a beautiful place to try it if it's available to you. But let's talk about meditation. Let's talk about merging the practical physical parts of Eastern meditation with Christian meditation. So I've talked a little bit about some of the ideas, but then the question is, great, Bishop, how do you do it? Well, the first thing you need to bear in mind is you have to make it a formal practice. And some people recommend in the beginning doing it 2 times a day, in the morning and in the evening or whenever, okay? You can start with 2 times a day. I would recommend that you give yourself a particular period of time when you begin, say 10 minutes. I'm going to do 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. In the beginning, it's going to be hard to do 10 minutes. After a while, 10 minutes will go like that, and you'll be into 15 before you start to struggle. And that's what you want to do. You eventually want to get it so that you're doing 2 half-hour meditations a day. You're welcome to do more, but most people can't handle much more of their time. So you first stretch. This is Eastern meditation. You first stretch, and then you begin to breathe. You breathe very deeply and slowly, and this starts the slows the heart rate, it relaxes the muscles, and it focuses the mind, right? You make sure when you do this that your mind is alert. Don't do it when you're tired. Don't do it when you're tired. Don't drink before you do it. Don't take your medicine before you do it. Your mind has to be alert, but not active. I read one thing that said, if you want to eventually get to 2 times a day, that's great. But when you're starting, do it in the morning. Why? Because the thoughts of the day are not racing in your head when you do it when you first get up. Try to start a half hour earlier than your usual time for getting up, and then use that time to meditate. So make sure your mind is alert. Do it on an empty stomach. I don't know about the rest of you, but how many of you have gone to some quiet meeting or prayer time after you've eaten, and all of a sudden the whole room is full of your tummy is loud when it's processing food, and you can get uncomfortable. So try to do it when your stomach is empty. Always wear comfortable clothes. Don't smoke beforehand. If you're a smoker, you know that smoking anything before you try to do something calming, that the smoking increases your heart rate and your breathing. So don't smoke beforehand, right? It'll actually tweak your body upward at a time when you're trying to bring it down. Now, your meditation space, you need to choose a safe and quiet place where you won't be disturbed. That's key. You don't want to be disturbed or startled. Prepare your space by making it clean and peaceful. Don't meditate in a cluttered area. Now, you may be the type of person who can ignore all that, but the purpose of meditation is to organize your mind and yourself. And it's hard to feel organized and disciplined and quiet in a place that's full of clutter. We all know it. We all have parts of our house or our entire house at certain times where we don't even want to be there. It stresses us out to walk into the place. So you want to make sure that your space is clean, it's uncluttered, everything's put away, because you want that quiet space for the quiet mind. When you're doing your meditation, dim the lights or turn them off if you're using a candle. Now, a candle is a very good tool for beginners, because a lot of beginners have a hard time keeping their eyes closed. If you just relax your eyelids so that they're half open, but you know you can see that your eyelashes are in the way of seeing, then look at the candle flame from that position and focus your seeing on that. Eventually your eyes will close, or that will be enough. Sit upright, all right? Sit in a straight back chair. Don't slouch. It's important because your breathing will not be deep and full if you're slouched. Your diaphragm has to be able to come all the way up and all the way down, all the way out and all the way in, okay? Don't breathe with your shoulders. Breathe with your stomach. Keep your shoulders still. Breathe out. Distend your stomach and pull it in. A lot of Reiki masters I've spoken to have pointed out that as you age, you start to breathe with your shoulders up and down, and then older sick people breathe in their throat instead of their mouth. So think about it. Watch yourself when you're breathing normally. Are your shoulders coming up and down? Then your breaths are shallow. Deep breaths force your stomach out and in. Look at a little baby sleeping. The stomach is what's holding the air. And that's what you want when you're breathing. Anyway, disconnect everything. Don't put your phone on vibrate. You and I know damn well that you can hear a vibrating phone. Everyone can hear a vibrating phone. You're not fooling anyone when that goes off in your purse and hits change. And it's like, no, turn it off. Turn it off. Silence it. Now, when you're going to do meditation, here are the steps. So that's preparation. Here are the steps. Sit still in your chosen position. All right. So if you're sitting in your high back chair or cross-legged on the floor, up straight, whatever it is, you sit very still. Pay attention to your breathing. Breathe deeply in and out. Every time your thoughts race off somewhere, and they will, you know, I saw one that said that you're going to go into a to-do list, and you'll have conversations with people that you need to talk to, and even commercial jingles will come in your head, right? Just keep going back to your breath. Keep focusing on it, but don't get angry or stressed that your mind is wandering. The second stress comes in, you're not going to be able to calm everything down, and you'll just have to stop. So, just calm your mind. When your mind wanders, go back to your breathing. If it keeps wandering, you can use a chant, okay? Some people recommend a word, and I like the idea of a word. For me, it would be a prayer. There's an ancient word called Maranatha. It's Aramaic, Maranatha, and it means either come, Lord Jesus, or the Lord has come. It depends actually on where you stop the syllables. Maranatha or Maran depends on that alone. Anyway, if you say it in even syllables, Maranatha, or as you're breathing, in, mer, out, ran, in, na, out, sa. Another one is Ave Maria. It rolls off the tongue with your breath. Or Our Father who art in heaven. And that one I always love because it sounds like a march. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's very rhythmic. You can do that to breathe. And there's all manner of things. Or Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. So if your thoughts keep wandering, add the word, add the prayer. Okay? Now, start to be mindful of the different physical sensations you're having as you're breathing. Do you feel your back? Is anything tingling? Do you feel the air through your nose? Notice that. Notice your body expanding and contracting as you breathe in and breathe out. Experience the breath coming in through your nose and out through your mouth. Feel the air, the oxygen, entering your bloodstream. Feel it moving to the different parts of your body. Feel that blood full of energy going to the cells, coming from the cells. Every time you start to sing a logo like Luna, 773-202, Luna. This is carpet commercial out here in Chicago, and I hate them. I would kill them if I could. But it's a famous one, and the jingle is so catchy. So that's going to happen to you. Your breathing rhythms are going to remind you of a song. Whenever that happens, the word, and come back to your breathing. As you're breathing, focus on the breath. It's coming in. It's coming out. I feel my stomach. I feel my nose. I feel my throat. That sort of thing. Now, you're going to notice frustration creeping up on you because you've stopped yourself 3 and 4 times. All right? Just understand that it's going to take some practice, but keep with it. All right? Just keep with it. Experiment. Maybe the bright room isn't good. You need a dark room. Maybe you need a different time of day. Maybe you're sitting with your hands down, and instead of having your palms on your knees, you need to have your arms out at your size, palm up. You never know what's going to do it. It could be the smallest thing. Now, while you're breathing, you need to feel your body parts. Right? This is a fantastic thing to do if you're a beginner. It'll help you quiet the mind. All right? So let's say you've gotten rid of all these distractions, and now your mind is quieting, and you start to pay attention to your feet. Just pay attention to them. What do they feel like? Can you feel all 5 toes? Can you feel the heel? Can you feel the ankle? Can you feel where it connects to the calf? And move up your body, including your internal organs, okay? This is a really helpful practice for beginners to stay in a breathing meditative state at first. Once you've mastered that, using your sacred prayer word, using your breathing, using your focusing on body parts, make sure that you commit, all right, for the long haul. Don't stress about it. Join a group to meditate, all right? I am personally selling a CD with 10 different guided meditations on it. Each is 20 minutes long, and all are firmly rooted in the Bible. So if you want to email me and ask about the CD, if you think it might help you begin, my email address is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. It's $10 for the CD. It's got hours of guided meditations on it. So email me if you're interested in that. But you can join a local meditation group. There's plenty of them. You can start one yourself. Right? The most important thing is not to stress. As you move deeper into this, you can generate moments of awareness during the day. In other words, when things start to get stressed, go back to your breathing. Feel your body. Say your sacred word. Right? You don't have to sit on the floor or anything. Close your eyes for a minute. Your hands down, breathing. No one will bother you. Figure you're doing some kind of meditation thing. So, what do we meditate on if we're thinking about things to sort of expand our mind and to focus our thoughts? What should we meditate on? Well, you can use scripture verses or you can use mysteries of God. That's really awesome, the mysteries, I think. So here are some good examples. The Trinity. Nothing like the Trinity to think about. You're not there to figure it out, okay? Don't try to figure out what the Trinity is. Don't try to feel how it relates to you. Just think about it. All right, think. God is one in three. God is three in one. Now you can see the triangle. See the rose with three petals. All right, imagine the stars forming three circles. That's it. Don't have to figure it out. It's such a profound mystery to think about and to see the different things. And when you get into that deep meditative state, you may have an epiphany where you suddenly get it. You get it. You know what the Trinity is. You couldn't possibly explain it, but you get it. That's important. That's why I suggest using these things to meditate on, because you'll get answers, because you'll have those moments. And how about this one? This is tremendous. When Jesus is on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? People are like, why was he saying that? It makes no sense. Oh, he was quoting Psalm 22 that says that. Well, yeah, but think about it. Jesus was dying. God the Father had turned his back on him because Jesus was sick and couldn't be with God. So God couldn't be with God. God was tearing himself apart at that moment. And all of creation went spastic. There were earthquakes. The dead rose. All the laws of the universe were suspended because God was apart from God. He had split. You don't have to figure that out. God was torn in two. Just think about that. See Christ on the cross. See the tear in the sky. Those are really good things to think about. Think about the incarnation. That baby is God. Just put yourself in the manger. That baby is God. He's helpless. If you wanted to kill God, you could come in here and bash that kid's skull. How amazing. Not murder isn't amazing, but how amazing is that thought? What about the Holy Spirit? The creation of the world, angels. Think about light. How do colors work? Wind. Think about Elijah in the Wadi Cherith. He is hiding in the mountains, and God says, hide your face. I am going to pass by you. And this terrible wind goes by, but God was not in the wind. And lightning and thunder come crashing through, but God was not in the noise. And then Elijah heard a still, small voice, and that was God. That was God. Wadi Cherith means the pit of mercy. We all know what a wadi is. It's an empty riverbed in the desert. So this wadi was named Cherith. But wadi means pit, and Cherith means mercy. So he was in the mercy pit, and he saw God. And what was God? A still, small voice. A point in creation, so small, so simple. And that's what meditation longs to do. It is a means to the end. You can meditate on the cross. You can meditate about how God is keeping anything in existence. I mean, these are things that can't be figured out. You could reflect on them for thousands of years and know everything ever written about them or thought about them, and never be able to say a single word about them. It's amazing. It's why they're mysteries. One of my favorite meditative prayers, actually thinking of mysteries, is the rosary. It's because once you've memorized the prayers and how to hold the beads and how it works, it is incredibly freeing because your mind is, your brain is occupied saying the prayers and holding the beads and counting, so your soul can just fly. And speaking of soul fly, I was looking up astral projection because as far as meditation goes, I would dare say it's part of that, astral projection is. So I looked it up, and there are actual instructions on how to do it, on how to lie down, become comfortable, start to fall asleep, but don't let yourself fall asleep, like hypnotize yourself, put yourself in a hypnagogic state. In the morning, they said to do it. I thought you'd do it at night, but in the morning. And you focus on a part of your body, all right, like your hand. And you focus intently on your hand until you start to feel this weird vibration. And then in your mind, you move your hand without letting your body move your hand. And then you start to see yourself sit up, and then you leave the room. It was astounding. I mean, if you go to WikiHow, is that where I was looking at that? WikiHow.com, WikiHow.com, look up astral traveling. Astral projection. It was amazing. I'm like, there are actual instructions with diagrams. I have had an out-of-body experience once or twice in my life. It's very beautiful and creepy. Creepy once I was back in my body, but beautiful while I was out of it. And I could see how through meditation, and this is through meditation with some self-hypnosis, you're supposed to be able to leave your body. That's how powerful meditation can be. I will tell you, I don't recommend it unless you really know what you're doing or have a partner. When it comes to astral projection, there is a high danger of your soul getting lost and your body being in a coma state. There have been many, many write-ups about just people being found in comas. They were in one when they went into their room, they are now, and there's no injury. No one knows what happened. I actually think that those might be astral projections gone awry. I do. There's no other explanation. But look it up if you're interested. I'm just going to stay in my body, okay? God inside of my body, and it feels awesome. So I don't need to go running about the verdant fields or anything right now. Maybe later. Now, I was talking about paranormal investigators and how they could use meditation and guided meditation in order to help them. Now, I did a talk on visualization, and it's still in the archives. These meditations are a part of visualization. First, let's say you're in a place where there's a great deal of stress. If you're in the midst of a haunting, or if you're in your office or house, people are screaming, right? You can close your eyes, sit upright or stand. I wouldn't recommend standing, though. Sit upright, put your hands where you usually do during meditation, and just start breathing and counting while you breathe. In, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this will help you calm down. And you can do it very quickly just by breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth a couple of times, and saying your sacred prayer in your head. Jesus, mercy. Jesus, mercy. Jesus, mercy. And then you're fine. It really, really does work. Now, when you're feeling your most relaxed, think of an image, like a candle, flame, a cross, a stained glass window. Then breathe and chant a special word, seeing this image. Save me, O Lord. And when you've done this several weeks, you should be able to enter that state immediately. So here's what I'm saying. Let's say you know you find yourself in stressful situations. Let's say you're an investigator. You investigate every weekend, and you often feel as though you need to quiet your mind during an investigation or enter into a state of full protection. What you want to do is prepare yourself before you're in that situation by doing quick meditations, guided meditations, where you relax yourself and you think of an image. Think of a candle flame, think of a cross, a stained glass window, a dog, your child, whatever it is. See that image while you breathe and then say that special chant. And I recommend Save Me, O Lord, because it's a good one, especially for investigators. Keep doing it so that you have this complete state of relaxation. Now start practicing entering it by just picturing the image. You get what I'm saying? So that the image itself can actually induce an immediate state of hypnosis. So that you pretty much enter meditation whenever you need it. And that's how you do that. And I'm taking my own advice. I sat down and thought about it, about what I used to do, and I realized that I had figured out how to do that, and I wanted to share it with you. I'm sure other people say similar things if you go online and look it up. For cleansing, let's say you've investigated and now you're done, you want out. Let's say you went to that family barbecue with all those rotten people you hate and you just want all the negativity off you. Well, you can use the same scenario that I told you where you prepare yourself so that you can self-hypnotize at any point using the candle or whatever. You can do that. And while you're doing that for cleansing, imagine your lungs being filled with lava and ash or oil. And then with every new breath in, you're blowing out heat and ash and taking in ice cool air from a mountaintop. Right? You can even look at the mountain stream while you're doing that and imagine it pouring over you, washing away all of the grime of negativity. So that, or you can breathe in golden light and breathe out black air until everything's gone. So, meditation. I've gave you some practical stuff. I want to practice a meditation with you, a guided meditation with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a couple of songs. While I'm playing them, find a good space where you can bring the radio show with you. All right, play it there on your phone or on your computer, and then just follow my instructions during the guided meditation. So I am going to play some fun songs, and you guys enjoy and get ready.
Hallelujah.
hey, let's try a meditation together. So I hope you're comfortable and in a comfortable place. What I want you to do is sit with your back straight. Find a comfortable place for your hands. You can sit cross-legged or with your feet flat on the floor as you sit in a chair. I want you to breathe in through your nose to a count of three and then out through your mouth to a count of three. So in two, three, out two, three. In, two, three, out, two, three. Continue that breathing. In, two, three, out, two, three. Just keep breathing. Very slowly, in through your nose, out through your mouth. I want you to flex your toes and release. Now flex your feet and release. Flex your calves and release. Flex your thighs and release. Flex your back and release. Flex your hands and release. Flex your shoulders and release. Flex your biceps and release. Scrunch your face and release. Touch your left ear to your left shoulder and release. Touch your right ear to your right shoulder and release. You are breathing in through your nose, two, three, out through your mouth, two, three. Continue your breathing. I want you to feel liquid warmth start to fall around you, beginning at the top of your head. Let it touch every part of your skin as it rolls down your body. Beautiful golden paint, warm blanket. As it touches your body going down, I want you to feel the sensation of that warm, soft blanket. Don't let your worries enter your mind. When another thought enters, start thinking about your breathing and counting. In through your nose, two, three, out through your mouth, two, three. If you need a word, I want you to say, Maranatha, Maranatha. Whenever a thought enters your mind, I want you to feel a second blanketing warm liquid even warmer and softer than the first. As it touches each part of your body, I want you to feel that part of your body enter a state of deep relaxation. Every muscle will feel this warmth, every organ, and everything will relax as they feel it. I want you to feel the deep relaxation coming over your body, starting at the tips of your toes and moving up. And as it hits each part of your body, that part will just melt into a deep, relaxing state. Remember to keep breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth. Keep it moving slowly upward. Feel it touching every part of your body. When I count to five, you'll be in a state of deep relaxation. One, two, three, four, five. I want you to think, while deeply relaxed, about this word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. God is one God. God is one God. God is one God. Hear deeply relaxed. You hear the word of the Lord. God is one God. Lord, while I'm in this state, completely open to you, tell me, why am I here on this earth in this time? As you're breathing, listen for the answer and say slowly with each breath out, why am I? Why am I? If other thoughts come in, watch them turn into water and wash away. Think only of those three words, "Why am I?" Why am I? Why am I? While you're breathing in through your nose, 2, 3, 4, and while you're breathing out through your mouth, 2, 3, 4, I want you to start to come back to this place. Instead of "Why am I?" I want you to start saying "I am" with each breath. In 2, 3, out 2, I am. In 2, 3, out 1, I am. You're closer to where you started. Thoughts are now starting to creep in. You can let them stay. And now I want you to slowly move one of your hands and then both feet. And now you can start moving about, waking up, thinking about what happened. Play a song while we all start to get our bearings, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more before we go.
We will glorify the King of Kings.
my friends, I hope you've come back. I hope that little meditation session helped you. If you would like to buy the CD, which is more of a donation gift, but we ask for a donation of $10, you can email me at charismatic.universalist@gmail.com, and I will shoot that CD out to you. There are several on there. I honestly can't remember how many. Some are very short, some are longer, all set to music. I certainly hope you'll give that a shot, because it can help you in the beginning to do more guided than self-meditations. Next week will be, I believe, our final time together in the How to Pray series anyway. After that, we'll begin a new series. But How to Pray closes next week with the practice of the presence of God. This is pretty much it as far as prayer goes. This is the ultimate. It's when you live every second before God in prayer. And yes, it is possible. We'll explain next week. Before we go, I just want to bring up to you the unfortunate question of money. I'm continuing to ask people for donations right now. We have an expense to keep this channel running of $40 a month. Unfortunately, because of the cost, I can no longer fund it myself, which is what I have been doing, because $500 a year can really add up. We've been offered an opportunity to do a show on weekends at Inspire Radio Network on Blog Talk, but that would mean giving up our ability to do a show every day. And there are many things I'd like to do with you. I'd like to do call-in shows. I'd like to do theology series, Bible series, mystical shows, Bible reading, hymns, morning and evening prayer. Right now, we have 2 hours a day available to us. But if I have to close down this network because I can't afford to keep it up out of pocket, then we lose those opportunities. If we lose it, I accept it as God's will. It's what was meant to be. But if everyone who listened donated a dollar per episode or more per month, a dollar per month, I could keep this place more than running. So in a year, we've gotten one donation of $40, despite I think we're at 160 different shows. Emails or countless and counseling sessions. So while we don't gripe, I mean, I am a full-time unpaid professional with a master's degree and the debt that goes with it. That's okay. I do it to help all of you. I'm asking if any of you can help us out right now with a dollar a month so that I can keep our and really our resource and our ability to bring you something every day. So that's up to you. I mean, if you can do it, if you're listening, if you download and you think a dollar a download or even a dollar a month is something you can handle, you can go to PayPal and you can send us a donation. It's tax deductible. We're a nonprofit registered with the IRS. And our email is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. So as I said, we've gotten 34,000 listens on our station since we opened. And I've had one $40 gift. So if everyone else could kind of now and then throw us a dollar here and there, and I'm not asking for 15 bucks a month like other charities, I'm asking for a dollar here and there. That would really help. I'd appreciate it. If not, watch for the announcement show in which I explain where we're going, what our limitations will be, and really if I can even continue this radio ministry. So might not be able to given the new limitations on the network. We'll hope for the best. God usually comes through at the last hour. But it feels like we've had the last hour for a while. That's good enough for me. Anyway, thank you all for coming this evening. I hope it wasn't it to you. I hope it helped. Please join us next Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. This Saturday's charismatic worship was postponed because of kid crises in the house. But this Wednesday at 7, we'll have charismatic worship. And the topic is spiritual arrogance. What do you do with the Christian right and help God help us the left when they start hurling accusations about how they know the truth and you don't? What do you do? Well, we'll talk about that because it's the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple. So that'll be Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then next Sunday at 7 p.m., we have How to Pray, Part 7, The Practice of the Presence of God. I hope you enjoyed this week. Everybody, God bless your week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord by always loving and serving each other. Pray hard, my friends. Pray hard.